The Columbia Broadcasting System presents The Man Behind the Gun, dedicated to the fighting men of the United States and the United Nations. This week, we pay tribute to our allies in the Royal Air Force, of whom Winston Churchill said, "Never have so many owed so much to so few."
This is the way it is with the men of the Royal Air Force. This is the way it was 2 years ago when these few stopped Goering's Luftwaffe dead in the sky and spoiled Hitler's timetable of invasion on which the United States was a destination. This is the way it is now with the RAF whenever German bombers roar in on the tight little island from occupied Europe. Tonight, the man behind the gun is Ronald Twine, Spitfire pilot of the Royal Air Force.
Tally-ho, Jeff. After you.
There they are. Bandits. Nazi planes. Up ahead and to the left. At Angels 20. Altitude 20,000. 12 of them. Junker 88s on their way to bomb London. Automatically, your hand reaches for the emergency throttle that gives you full horsepower. And you spar off behind Jeff and start pouring in. Not a big flap today. Only you and Jeff and Gremlin Parker. They call him Gremlin because his ears stick out on either side like a gremlin's horns. You can hear him talking to himself.
Now look, Parker, old boy. It's all very well to be a ruddy hero, but let's make a serious effort to keep all in one piece, shall we? Mustn't forget, tonight is Cicely Mountbank's party. Wouldn't do to show up all perforated. Wouldn't do at all.
Your phone is on, Parker. Don't get obscene or anything.
Eavesdropper.
Red leader here. Watch Jerry chaps up in the sun. Fighter escort. Ankles.
So there are. Nasty-looking brutes, too.
We're not going to turn off, are we, Skipper? You know, I haven't had a go at anything recently.
We'll stay on, Ronnie. Their fighters won't annoy us until we die for the attack. But then they'll be down on us like a ton of bricks. Anybody mind?
I mind, but I don't suppose there's much I can do about it now.
Not a thing. Line astern, you chaps. We're going in. Ronnie, you play rear-end Charlie, will you?
Righto. Leave something for me.
Take good care of me, won't you, Ronnie? I have a date with a delicious little fluff for tonight.
Echelon now, chaps.
Okay, Skipper. Echelon it is.
Let's go in now. Going down.
There goes Jeff, diving into the formation of German bombers. Parker is right behind him. Now it's your turn. They've opened up now from above. Ankle fighters. And out of the corner of your eye, you see a stream of tracer bullets searching for your wing. Then you half roll out of it automatically, twist up underneath a Junker bomber, and feed him everything you've got from stem to stern. You feel your plane shuddering under the recoil. You seem to stand still in the air for a few seconds. Then you turn the fire lever off as you roar out from underneath. The bombers have broken formation now. Some of them have turned away already, and you let them go.
Bandits on the left, follow me.
And you flip over in a tight roll and straighten out behind Jeff, wondering where Parker is. Then you're in it again, running the gauntlet, waiting for your chance at the bombers ahead. 400 yards. 300. Now the rear gunner on the Junkers is firing at you. And you weave from side to side in great sweeping arcs. 250 yards. 200. And you start firing in quick little bursts as you pass the rear gunner on each swing. Then in the mirror you see a familiar shape, weaving with you and getting closer. A German Heinkel. You see his gun ports winking at you like little flashing lights, and you know he's firing at you. Then your instrument panel goes to pieces before your eyes. That's how you know you've been hit. You set your teeth and stop weaving and bore right in at the bomber ahead and start feeding it to him. Then you see the Nazi gunner try to stand up in his little cubbyhole as the plastic glass splinters all around him. And then he pitches down out of your sight. You got him. But now the German fighter is coming in from astern. Without a conscious effort on your part, you spiral down out of the formation trying to get away from the Heinkel. You keep hoping you won't have to jump. They love to shoot up parachutes. Then suddenly it's all right. Jeff is working on the Heinkel.
Thanks, Jeff. Get him for Parker.
And he does, firing in quick, short bursts. Following every move the German makes, he goes boring in on the Heinkel. Then it turns belly up like a fish, and you can see the white line of tracers pouring into its length. Then slowly and sluggishly, it turns over on its back and falls into a spin. A flame from end to end.
Good work, Jeff. One for Parker.
Do I hear someone talking about me?
Oh, Parker, I thought you copped it.
Not me. I told you I had a date tonight.
Where were you on that last mix-up?
Oh, I was there. As a matter of fact, I polished off a Yonkers. Someone had been thoughtful enough to shoot up the rear gunner for me.
Ronnie did that.
Good show, Ronnie.
Good show yourself.
You hope you don't sound like a dog in the manger. But you can't help wishing you had a Heichel or a Yonkers on your own scoreboard. Even a Messerschmitt 109. Everybody has 109s. Everybody but you, that is. All you get are assists. Mr. Parker shot down a Yonkers 88 today. Brilliant assist by Mr. Ronald Quine.
Anyone know where we are?
Haven't the least idea. You, Ronnie?
Not I. Could be anywhere by now.
Lovely, boy. So helpful. I'll call in. Hello? 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 Red leader to strawberry control. Where are we? Where are we? Hello, strawberry control. Hello. Where are we? Over.
You're now over sugar, beer, beer. Your home course will be red 70. Is that understood? Over.
Red leader here. You are understood. We are over sugar, beer, beer. Our home course is red 70. Off.
Well, then let's go, you lads. Let's go home or we'll be late for Sicily's party.
This is the party Parker was so anxious to get to. He's taken you along and Jeff, too. It's a fine party, as parties go, with death hanging overhead. There are pretty women everywhere. Bare shoulders in the candlelight. Soft voices. It's gay. You hardly notice the blackout drapes and the gas mask.
I'm so awfully glad to see you. Hello, aren't you dancing, Ronnie?
I'm terribly sorry. I never learnt to. Awkward fellow.
Well, have a good time. There you are, Charles. I've been looking at you.
Have a good time. Of course. It's easy enough if you don't mind being shy. If you're satisfied just watching. You wish you could talk to women easily, gracefully, amusingly, like Jeff does, so that their laughter will tinkle out across a room like... like a little silver bell. Like her laughter. She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. Sicily's beautiful.
Is she?
Huh? What? Oh. Well, who are you?
Oh, it doesn't matter. You seem to be interested in Sicily.
I didn't realize I'd spoken aloud.
Ah, but you did. You very definitely did. You said, she's beautiful. Sicily's beautiful.
Did I?
Yes. But alas for your illusion. I happen to know that her hair is completely and utterly false. She bought it, every delightful strand of it, from an old gypsy woman who needed the money. She paid very little for it, too, I understand. A mere song.
I say, really?
Oh, quite. Yes, I believe the title of the song was Mother McCree or something very similar. The gypsy woman was fond of music, you see.
I see. You're pulling my leg.
Oh, not very hard. Just ever so little. Oh, look, please don't be angry, please.
I'm not. I just don't think you're very amusing.
And that, my dear Christine, should be a lesson to you. Goodbye, young man.
Goodbye.
She's gone now. Didn't take long to get rid of her. That's the way to do it. That's how to make friends. Let her start a conversation and then leap down her throat at the earliest opportunity. Idiot. She's beautiful, too. More than the other. Christine, she called herself.
Christine. Nice.
Talking to Jeff now, or rather, he's talking to her, motioning with his hands, showing her how he got his first Heichel, probably.
Wish I might get a Heichel.
Oh, yes. You wish you could get a Heichel. Or even a Messerschmitt 109. Everybody's had 109s. Everybody but you. We're back on that again, are we? Might almost make a song of it. Everyone has a 109, everyone but me.
Oh, here it is. I say, Ronnie, tell this dreadful woman how we got that Heinkel today.
Jeff got it. I had very little to do with it, really.
There, you see, Chris? Oh, by the way, do you
know... Hello, Christine.
Hello, Ronnie.
You're making fun of me again.
You still haven't developed a sense of humor.
Am I intruding?
I'm sorry I was so stuffy.
I'm sorry I was so impertinent.
Nice party, isn't it?
Look here, Ronnie, I saw a first...
A lovely party. Trifle crowded, though, isn't it?
Yes. Isn't it, Jeff?
Oh, all right. I'll go quietly. But if I'm found dead with a gun in my hand, you'll know why, you two.
Nice fellow, Jeff.
Oh, very.
I'd ask you to dance, but...
Would you really?
But I don't know how, I'm afraid.
Oh.
My feet don't match or something.
I had an uncle once whose feet didn't match. He had a dreadful time.
I can imagine. Whatever became of the old duffer?
Well, he took up yogi at an advanced age and died in Capri of trying to cross his feet behind his head.
I like Capri.
Oh, yes. Very nice place, Capri.
The water's so blue. Nothing like a blackout in the rain.
Yes, it makes the blackout so much blacker.
Nice party.
Yes, very nice. Too bad it had to rain, though.
Oh, no, I shouldn't have been able to stay on if it hadn't. Night raiders, you know.
Yes, I know. I've been through a couple of blitzes.
I'd hate to be a civilian.
Oh, so would I.
Aren't you?
No, these are my party clothes. Daytimes, I wear a uniform. Oh, perhaps you won't like me in uniform.
I like you even more, if that's possible. What kind of a uniform?
Wren. Mm. But never mind that. Tell me about your flying. What's it like up there at night, for instance? Can you see anything?
Not for the first half hour or so. Then you can see fairly well. It's surprising. Too bad we couldn't find a cab.
Oh, I don't mind. I like walking.
Of course, there's something...
You know, you talk a great deal, don't you?
Yes,
you do. Too much. Much too... Oh, that's better.
I think I'm in love with you. Do you mind?
No, but isn't it rather sudden? Oh, no, I sound mid-Victorian, don't I? This is so sudden.
You're nice, Christine.
And you're sweet. But don't change the subject. You were talking about being in love with me. Continue.
I shouldn't. It isn't fair.
Why not?
I might be killed any day.
Well, there's that, of course. Are you afraid?
Afraid of dying? No, there isn't time. You get into a fight and it's very impersonal. Like chess on a grand scale. You make a move, your opponent makes a move, and then one of you wins the game.
And the other loses.
That's right.
I wish we wouldn't talk like this. Whatever became of that gay, meaningless conversation we were having?
I said I loved you. Was that meaningless?
No. No, that really meant something. Well, here we are. This is my house.
Well, Christine...
Ronnie, let me say something.
Oh, please do.
It's not easy being in love in wartime. Everything changes so much. You have to be so quick and certain of things. There's no time for thinking. You have to catch at things as they go by. You have to be quick about it and unafraid.
Do you mean...
What I'm trying to say is, Ronnie, that I'm so certain. So very certain about you and me.
Christine, I...
Oh, darling.
It doesn't rain forever, and a few days later the weather clears off and you're back in the dispersal hut at the aerodrome waiting for flying orders. And that's all right. You know that next time up you'll get an official. Next time up you're going to get a German all your own. You stand there at the open door of your locker tearing off the pictures inside. All the American cinema stars you flipped from magazines. All the beautiful anonymous girls from everywhere whose pictures are inside the door of your locker.
Hello, what's this? Breaking up your collection, Rodney? Ah, may I have that one?
Haven't seen a tiger skin rug in years.
Rotten joke. See the paste anywhere?
Yeah, here you are. What's this? Putting up a picture of... Well, I'll be. Christine.
Yes. We're engaged, Jeff. Going to be married my next leave.
No.
Uh-huh. Quite.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, you lucky dog, you. Well, I can't understand what she sees in you. You know, my heart's positively smashed and my life completely devastated, but I think it's first rate. Absolutely first rate. I tell you, my boy...
Boston 11, red section. Scramble.
There it is. Parker! Get Parker, somebody! Come on, Ronnie, come on.
And then you're running across the drome to where your planes are already warming up. It's business now.
Did you sign the 700 sheet, Ronnie?
Yes, I did.
Fine. Better set your gun sights for about 40-foot wingspread.
Mr. Schmitz?
Probably. See you later.
Righto. Give me a leg up, Tinky.
Right, John, Mrs. White. She's all up and ready, sir.
Good enough. Got the seat?
Right here, sir.
Received a mechanic one aircraft in good condition. There you are.
Good luck, Mr. Klein.
Don't worry. Today's my day. Stand clear.
Now you'll look over and see Parker just settling down in his cockpit. Up ahead, Jeff is watching. You give him a thumbs up, and he waggles his tail fin. Take off. Feathering on the propeller and open up the throttle, keeping in a tight vic with Parker and Jeff, taking off in formation. Then, as the ground drops away, you hear Jeff on the radio telephone.
Hello. Hello, Chester Control. Red Leader here. Airborne at 1220. Over.
Very well, Red Leader. Stand by.
Now you're going up in a figure eight, getting altitude. 5,000 feet. 10,000. And you take a few deep breaths of oxygen. They're still going up. 13,000 now. The air is clear and blue.
Hello, Red Section Leader. Chestnut Control here. Are you receiving me? Are you receiving me? Answer.
Chestnut Control from Red Leader. I am receiving you very well. Go ahead. Over.
Hello, Red Leader. Your vector is Z9Z. Is that understood?
Hello, Chester Control. Red Leader answering. Receiving and understood. Vector is Z9Z. Off. All right, you chaps. Set your compasses for Z9Z. Formation is line astern. Parker will play rear end Charlie. Understood?
Understood, Skipper.
You're still going up. You lean forward quickly and adjust the oxygen indicator to 20,000 feet. You're a little dizzy from the fast climb and the oxygen, but everything's okay. Motor sounds fine. Mixture's a little too rich, perhaps, and you adjust the carburetor intake carefully.
Red 2 and 3 from Red 1. Echelon red.
You spread out to the left and above Jeff, flying in a stepped-up formation now. So far, so good. All you need now is a target. Keep listening for the director.
Hello, Red Leader. Chestnut Control here. At Angels 1-5. Lord Bandit.
An enemy bomber at 15,000 feet. That's what you've been waiting for. Quickly, you reset your gun sights to the wingspread of a bomber. Then you switch your gun button to the fire position.
Red 2 and 3 from Red 1. Let me know if you see anything.
Your eyes start that shifting circle. It's become a habit now. You look down on one side, then up. Down ahead, then up. Down on the other side, then up.
Tally-ho! Red 1 from Red 2, below, on the right.
There he is, all right. A Junkers 88 from the look of him. Must have lost his formation, you think to yourself, as you heel over behind Jeff's diving plane. Junkers don't travel alone.
Tally-ho! Meat on the table!
Must have lost his formation, eh, Skipper?
Yes, sir. You still with us, Parker?
I'll pick up the pieces.
There won't be any. Let's go.
Go in from the side, you're thinking. Go in from the side. There's no armor there in the Yokers. But the pilot has seen you. He's turning to face you now so his gun turrets can go into action. You center your gun sights on his forward blister, and he gets larger and larger in the circles. Now you see his machine gun winking at you in little bursts of flame. Too far. 300 yards now. Jeff is firing into him as he roars past. Then it's your turn. You bring up your nose a little and let him have it. Then you're zooming up and over to come in from the rear behind Jeff. It's too fast the other way. You can see Parker right behind you in the rear vision mirror. And then Jeff goes in from the side and you see his traces getting home. Then he's gone and it's your turn again. See the turret gunner swiveling around from following Jeff to try to get a line on you. Then your thumb presses down on the gun button. Then you're by again and you wheel up and over for another run. But it isn't necessary. He's done for. His nose drops down in a sickening lurch and his motors are trailing smoke. The incendiaries have hit home. Now little shapes are dropping out of the bomber's hatches, scrambling wildly in the air. Then, as their parachutes open, the bomber plunges past the Germans and goes down out of sight in the clouds. You got him. Number one for Ronald Twine.
Good show, Ronnie.
Couldn't have done better myself.
Number one. You snap up and over in a tight barrel roll. The victory roll. And then, a sudden thought is in your mind.
Red 2 here. I say, Skipper, do you suppose that'll be confirmed? Will they see it come down?
I don't see how they can miss. I'll call in. Hello, Chester Control. Red Leader here. Watch for falling bandit. Watch for falling bandit. Over.
Hello, Red Leader. Bandit crashed nearby. Bandit crashed nearby. You see, try and get them a little farther from home next time, will you?
Oh, I say, look here, beans again. Beans and tea, oh, put.
And the beans are always too hot and the tea's too cold.
Yes.
Well, fill up, my lad. We'll be off on another flat before long, or I miss my guess. This weather's too good for Jerry to stay away, you know.
It's late afternoon now. One more flap and you'll be through for the day. You'll be seeing Christine. The name fills your mind and your heart.
Christine.
Listen to the boy. He's talking to himself now.
Oh, love is a dreadful thing. But still, it's better than beans and tea.
Look around the dispersal hut briefly. Looking at all the faces. Wondering how they feel about waiting for the loudspeaker to pop off. Wondering if they've ever been in love. If they're in love now.
Stand by!
There it is. All the faces are still now. Some of the men stand there with a fork full of beans poised halfway to their mouths. Jeff has his mouth open to take a swallow of tea. It stays open.
Squadron 11, blue and red sections. Squadron 14, black and white sections. Scramble.
A big one this time. 12 planes in the air at once, and more coming from other airdromes, probably. A big flap, all right. And suddenly you're cold inside. All the while you're getting ready to take off, while you're putting on your chute and buttoning up your flying suit, while you're checking your instruments and giving Jeff the go-ahead, you're thinking, maybe this is the last one for me. And you feel it as strongly as you've always felt before that you'd come back. This time you have a feeling that you won't come back. And you think of Christine, waiting and waiting and nothing beyond waiting.
Chester Control from Red Leader. Red and blue sections, airborne at 1805. Over.
Hello, Red and blue sections. Chester Control here. Your vector is 175. At Angels 20, many, many bandits. Buster.
Buster means hurry. You lean forward and pull out the throttle another notch. You're climbing steeply now. Getting dark, and you blink your eyes trying to get used to it. Altitude is 10,000 now, going up like an elevator.
Red and blue sections from Chestnut Control. Bandits are over map reference, Sugar Tok Tok 3350. I say again, Sugar Tok Tok 3350. Is that understood? Over to you.
Hello, Chester Control. Bandit is over. Sugar, talk, talk, 3350. You are understood. Listening out. All units from Red Leader. Bandit is 3 or 4 miles to the left. Buster.
They're coming in over the Devon coast, not far off. The plane ahead pulls away a little, and you reach for the auxiliary throttle and give your Hurricane full petrol. Altitude is 15,000 now, and you're on oxygen. The air is cold on your face above the mask, but your hands are sweating. Now you reach out and snap on the gun sights, and a little light is oddly comforting.
Hello, Red Leader. Have you located bandits? Have you located bandits? Over.
Red Leader answering. Not yet. Stand by. Red Leader to all units. Look, look, look.
You're watching for the enemy now. Should be around here somewhere. They're still climbing. 20,000 now. You set the gun button on firing position. You wonder briefly if somewhere nearby the enemy's doing the same thing.
Tally-ho!
There they are. About 50 of them with a fighter escort above and behind.
Hello, Chester Control. Have found bandits. Going in. Off.
Now Jeff heels over and the two sections spar off one at a time and follow him.
Get the front one. Going down.
All you can do is try to break up the formation. Make them turn around and go home. So you dive at full power, weaving slightly. And then you pick out your target and go for them. It's darker now and you can see the traces very plainly. Searching for you. And then you're in range and you press the button. Automatically, you pull back on the stick to climb up for another run. And the pressure of the pullout forces you down into your seat until your tongue is hanging out. All around you, the sky is filled with groups of planes fighting like angry bees. You've broken up the formation. Suddenly, the rudder bar is vibrating beneath your feet. A Messerschmitt on your tail. Machine gun bullets eating away at your fuselage. And you loop up and over and down again. He stays with you all the way. Now you're weaving desperately, snapping over at the end of each arc, trying to shake him off, but he sticks. Think of Christine. This is the day she waits. You're falling now. You're falling.
Red Leader from Red 2. I'm going down now, Jeff. So long.
The plane doesn't answer the stick. And you reach up to pull back the hatch combing so you can bail out. The hatch is jammed, and for a brief second, your mouth and throat are choked with panic. Your hands fumble desperately and aimlessly with the instruments. Altitude is 12,000 now. 11,000. You try the rudder bar. Nothing happens. 10,000 now and picking up speed. The wind is shrieking in the open gun ports. 9,000. And then you start jamming the stick back and forth, trying to break it loose from whatever is holding it. It moves a little. Altitude 8,000 now. Desperately, you strain backward on the stick. One last try. 7,000. It's coming. Your airspeed is dropping off. The nose is coming up. More. 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 You're pulling out now. And the force is pushing you down into your seat until your stomach aches. Your chin hangs down into the sheepskin strap. And a river of black water seems to flow across your eyeballs. And you open your mouth and scream to get rid of the pressure. And it's all right now. The plane is answering the controls again. The motor is running hot and you drag to the left, but it's good enough to get home in. Home.
Hello. Chestnut Control. Hello. Chestnut Control. This is Red 2. May I come in and land? May I come in and land? Over, please.
Hello, Red 2. Chestnut Control here. Yes, you may come in and land. Yes, you may come in and land. Come ahead. Off.
You're going home. And suddenly there's a picture in your mind. A picture of men and women going home all over England. Going home past bombed houses and burned churches. Their faces resolute. Determined that England one day will pay her Nazi tormentor in full. This is why you are flying. This is why you are fighting. You, the pilots of the RAF, are England's last line of defense. And her first line of attack.
The Man Behind the Gun is presented each week at this time for the purpose of telling you how your boys and their comrades in arms in the fighting forces of the United Nations are waging our war against Axis aggression. Man Behind the Gun is written by Ranald MacDougall. Jackson Beck is the narrator. The original music is composed and conducted by Nathan Van Cleve. The production is directed by William N. Robeson for the Columbia Broadcasting System.